do here. By the way, one memory I have of that hymn is years ago, Brother Arnett McEntee was at our meeting, and that was his theme song for the week. What will you do with Jesus? I had the privilege this week of working with brothers and sisters from the meeting here at the exhibition, and it was a very profitable week. We had a chance to share the gospel with a number of individuals and to give a literature out to multitudes of individuals. And it was a very nice week, and I enjoyed getting to know some of the brothers and sisters here as well that I've always known, but you get to meet them a little bit when you spend several hours with them. So it was a very, very profitable week. I enjoyed it very much, and I believe it was something that will have eternal benefits. If we might turn, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, for a moment. Coming into town, it was raining and sun was out and just about every kind of weather. And my shirt felt just like that pavement looks. And I haven't improved too much. Psalm 23, verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I'd like to speak a little bit tonight on the subject of preparation. And our Lord has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I can kind of imagine David, a boy, looking after sheep, being sure, as we look at this passage, that they had to eat, that they had to drink, that they were restored and healed up, led in the right ways, even in the very darkest shadows, to be with them and to have them to know that despite the danger, that he was right there with them. And then in the midst, with perhaps a lion over there and a bear over there and a snake over there and a wolf and so on, all over the place, there they could very assuredly eat and drink and lie down and rest and to know for sure their shepherd had everything under control. Now, one thing I noticed there, if you're talking about preparing a table, was in the presence of his enemies. And so we're looking at fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ upon earth in this scene. And I often think of this prepared table. Now, I know that in the New Testament, there is some teaching that every believer is at the Lord's table, for we eat of him and we drink of him every day and every moment, every believer. But nonetheless, I would like to think of the emblems upon the table, at the Lord's table, at the Lord's Supper specifically. And I was thinking that as we come into the Lord's Supper, the shepherd is in the midst. The Lord Jesus Christ has ever promised to be there. We see the emblems upon the table, and we see the emblems of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the emblems of his death. And I believe that without our Lord Jesus Christ and without the emblems of his death, or not the emblems of his death, without his death, there would be no table. A table would not be prepared. You know, when we come together for the Lord's Supper, I believe that there are three great enemies that come in with us, mainly because we are we wherever we go. We know that there is the flesh. We know there is the devil. We know there is the world. These pull upon our thoughts and our minds, even as we sit down to remember him that has done so much for us. But you know, it is marvelous to think that though there is in our midst ever failure, ever enemies, ever a struggle, still the Savior is in the midst, and he has prepared the table. He is the host. He may have servants that have placed a table or a chair or whatever. He may have sent a servant to fill the glasses or the cup. He may have sent somebody to provide a loaf of bread, but it is he, as surely as anything, that has prepared that table for you and me, and he has prepared it at Calvary's cross. In the very presence of my enemies. The other thing that I note in this passage is the wonderful welcome. The wonderful welcome we receive at the Lord's Supper from him. Thou anointest my head with oil. When you come in out of the desert heat and with your skin dried up, and they would take and put oil upon your face and your hair as a sign of welcome. My cup runneth over. At the Lord's Supper there is never a lack. And at the cross of Jesus Christ there is never a lack. And my friends, thou preparest a table before me. I think also of the pronouns of this passage. When he prepares a table, David says, thou hast prepared me. The shepherd takes the place of the sheep here. And he says, thou, my shepherd, my good shepherd, thou preparest me. Thou preparest me. Thou preparest before me a table. That is a wonderful personal thing. The Lord's table is where the believer gets down to personal things between him and his Savior. He is there. He has asked us to be there. And he has welcomes us there. And it is certainly a rich place for a believer to be. A prepared table. Now, also, if we would look on to the book of John chapter 14, you might note that you don't have to be a rocket scientist to kind of get the idea of where we're going with this. But it is still, it is a thrilling thing to be encouraged by the Word of God. We read in verse 1 of John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And here we have offered to us fellowship in heaven. And on that basis, we are told not to let our hearts be troubled. You know, time is short and eternity is long. And to be with the Lord is far better than to be here. And we can trust the Lord for that little time that's here. When I first moved to Montague, I was 26 years old. 20 years to look ahead from then would have made me 46 years old. To look ahead this year would make me 80 years old. Time is very short. I don't know where it goes. I don't know where my life has went. But one thing I know more than ever, that the Lord is sufficient for every need. He said here, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Well, one thing I would like to remind us of tonight is that, yes, there is a mansion being prepared for me. There is a mansion being prepared for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ at that moment in John chapter 14 was not about to go out in the porch and make an ascension to heaven. In order to prepare a place in heaven for me, he had first to go to up Calvary's hill. He had to take his cross. He had to be nailed upon it. He had to suffer, to bleed, and to die. There would be no Lord's table without the broken body and shed blood of our Lord. And there would be no place in heaven without the broken body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is that which gives us eternal security and guarantees us eternal fellowship, fellowship with Him in heaven itself. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I think of the wonder of fellowship too. I don't know if you've noticed the pronouns here. They are also personal. I and you. I and you. You can trust me. You can trust my work. My preparations are perfect. They will not let you down. And he said, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again. And certainly he will. The Old Testament scriptures, they tell us over and over again the Messiah would be cut off, that he would die. The pictures of the Old Testament are the pictures of blood, the shedding of blood, the death at the hands of the priest, the fire upon the altar. These are pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ in his death. And we know that he has conquered death. He rose from the dead. And he is seated at the right hand of God. Surely he has gone and he has prepared a place for us. And he said, where I am, there you may be also. He is interested in fellowship. Fellowship on earth, yes. But he said, if only here on earth we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. For life is short. Eternity is long. But he has gone to prepare a place. His preparations are forever. It is called in the book of Ecclesiastes our long home. Our long home. One of the ladies up in the late 80s, one of the believers who died this year, she said to me over and over again, said, Bob, I want to go to my true home. I want to go to my true home. And so she went. fellowship in, on earth, fellowship in heaven. Now I would like for us to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if we could turn there, please. Once again, we see the preparations of the Lord for us. I would like us to begin in verse 1. Verse 1, I believe, builds, is the foundation of the rest of the chapter. Verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Christ. It's interesting this week, and I want to get aside here. But anyway, one morning we had a visit from someone who claimed to be a scientist, who I which is fine. And one of the workers that was there, one of the girls, was the one who ended up talking with the scientist. And she very simply shared her faith with this woman who was saying things like, this Adam and Eve business is crazy, and actually not really tremendously scientific statements. But anyway, the lady shared the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with her, and of his great saving love for her. And I was very impressed by that. For someone who has a degree in history, it's not too much use in trying to talk biology altogether. And when she was through, she said, look at my hands, and her hands were trembling. Her hands were trembling. Things can impress me. That kind of impresses me. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The starting place of the Christian life. And by the way, if we think of the Lord's Supper, what does he want us to do every week but return to the beginning, to the place where Jesus Christ was crucified and his blood was shed and his body was broken for you and for me. And then we read this in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. By the way, when you're thinking of the passage that will be very clear to you, remember this little statement as one of the statements. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It's a glorious thing to be saved. And one of the benefits of being saved, of the Lord Jesus Christ crucified, are these things. Things that our eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. When I was in high school, I remember we had to know scientific, what is it? I can't remember quite the word, but it involved observation, things you could see, hear, smell with your senses. But here's things the eye has not seen. Here are things the ear hasn't heard that we couldn't have imagined to be true. It never entered into our hearts. The things that God prepared for them that love Him. Fellowship with the mind of Christ. Fellowship with the mind of God. Fellowship with the hidden wisdom of God. I remember years ago reading my grandfather's diary. And my grandmother, I believe, was a Christian woman. She was a woman that read her Bible from day to day. And my grandfather was writing in his diary, and he was talking about his wife. He said, she understands the things of the Bible. I can ask her things, and she has answers. And he was quite amazed. Things his eye had not seen, but her eye had seen. Things that his ear had never considered, but her ear considered. Things that had entered her life and taken hold of her spirit and her soul, God revealed by His Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, things the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard. My grandmother may have gone to grade 8 in school. And yet, according to her husband, she could answer the questions of things he did not know, could not see, could not hear, that were not in his heart, that were in hers. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. We might, for example, at this time go to Ephesians 1, but we won't. We might go to even an Old Testament passage such as Psalm 103, but we're not going to go there either. You can go there. You could be blessed by the things that are freely given to us of God. Things which we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Things that the Holy Spirit teaches. The believer that is on his knees before the Lord, asking the Lord for wisdom and guidance. The Scripture says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, and He will give abundantly. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. How telling a man's words are in his moment of honesty. She hears. I hear not. She sees. I see not. She has something in her life, in her heart. I have not. He that is spiritual discerneth all things or judgeth all things, but yet he himself is judged of no man. For we have known the mind of the Lord. that who has now known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Oh, surely our fellowship by this precious word is with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that our joy might be full. And I believe, my friends, that these are great things that are only prepared at the cross. That are only prepared at the cross of Calvary. One other thing that I would share is in the book of Revelation chapter 19. All of these things have been prepared for us by God. I would like to look at a little passage here. It speaks of wonderful fellowship, I believe, on a different level altogether. Verse 5 of Revelation 19. And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, in verse 6, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The Scripture speaks a lot about treasures in heaven. And it's interesting that we do not know. We know we shall serve him. His servants shall serve him in that wonderful place. But it would seem that as we study the New Testament, that the great rewards of the believers are things that are tied with things that we do here. We know that the church is the bride of Christ. And we know that the church shall be a glorious church that the Lord Jesus shall present to himself. Glorious. But it comes down, I believe, to what we do for the Lord here. These things shall be our glorious dress in heaven. Verse 8, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness or the righteousnesses of saints. The things that we do for the Lord here are the things that are our glorious dress. Now it is true that the bride may not eye her garment, but her dear Prince of Grace, her Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, we don't want to be a bunch of folks that don't have very much to show. It's only glorifying to him. Only glorifying to him everything we do. Wouldn't it be something? I see brides that spend thousands on their wedding. I pray that we might be looking forward as the betrothed of the Lord to the wedding day when we shall have fellowship with the Lamb in heaven. I pray that we would be concerned much more than with a beautiful white dress here, with a beautiful white dress there, with all kinds of things that might say to him, I love you. This is the moment I've waited all my life for. This is the moment for me of all the dreams I have ever had to see the bridegroom face to face. Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Well, my friends, it's wonderful to have fellowship with the Lord on earth. I think of a hymn that's coming through my mind as I was speaking. That when we hear the voice of the Lord, when we see him face to face, it shall be a familiar voice. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Fellowship on earth. Fellowship in heaven. Fellowship with the mind of Christ. And fellowship with the Lamb. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would make our hearts sensitive to thy word. We speak of things that are more glorious than anything in the world, than anything we have seen with our eyes or heard. The most beautiful of music that we have heard. Ah, yet we shall see and hear more wonderful things. And in fact, we have seen and heard more wonderful things in thy word than ever we thought our hearts could handle. They have filled our hearts with joy. Oh, Father, I pray that you would encourage the saints of God, that you would lift them up in service to thee, that they might indeed eye their blessed bridegroom and that they would be all in all sold out to him. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.